Hello, 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 and welcome to episode number 48. I'm asking myself a question there. Of Five Star Potential, a weekly football manager podcast brought to you by WeStream FM. On this week's pod, we'll be chatting about how to build a tactic, which follows on neatly from last week's pod. But first of all, I must, of course, introduce to you my co-hosts. Returning, we're gonna go to him first. Why not, Mr. Doop? Hello and welcome.
How do we do this?
Hello. I was hoping you'd tell us,
hello?
To be honest. Is this thing on? How are you doing, buddy?
I'm fantastically well, my man. How are you doing?
Good, good. Moving swiftly on, Mr. Viking Dan, welcome back from Denmark.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, sir?
I'm really well, yeah. Thank you. How
excellent.
Are you?
Well rested, ready to rock?
Ready to rock, well rested, maybe not. It was a okay. Holiday, not a resting time, but it was good nonetheless.
One of those where you decide to hike up the Alps or something ridiculous like that.
Literally, I think we walked about 5 or 6 hours a day.
That doesn't sound like a holiday. That sounds like torture.
It was lovely.
Visit though. Any concentration camps whilst you're there? No? Okay. Excellent. Mr. Dave Azzopardi, welcome. Hello.
Hello and welcome.
Excellent. And rounding us off, Mr. Friday Night FM. Hello, sir.
It's great to be here as always.
No one stole it this week. Yay! Excellent. Right, so let's get rolling into some save updates, sharp-ish. Dave, have you decided what you're doing yet? Or should we just skip past you?
With my save or my life or just everything in general?
Well, I mean, that's a bit deep for now, to be honest.
We've only got an hour, son.
I played a little bit the old Bognor Regis save this week, but as you could tell, I haven't really got an update for that. I have sort of semi-thought of an idea for Football Manager on my YouTube, actually uploading something. I think it's been like 3 or 4 weeks since I've actually uploaded a video. So I might go a bit retro. I might go on an old Football Manager to do a little challenge, but it still remains to be seen at the moment. But I'm fingers crossed because I'm away next week. I want to get some content out for whilst I'm away. So I want to get at least sort of 4 or 5 videos scheduled. So keep your eyes peeled. I'm pretty sure there'll be a series out this week.
Are you going on a scouting mission to Portugal?
No,
for,
I'm not
for
actually.
Wolves.
No, I'm not.
Because that's basically where they're pilfering from.
They are. Yeah, but yeah, I'm not.
Okay. Glad to see you've quashed those rumours before you announced that you're now a bit part of their scouting team, but well done. Mr. Doop, you've had quite an interesting week, have you not?
Yeah, it's been all right, to be fair. So obviously, we all know that we were pretty close to partnership, which is why we took a little break to come and give it a good final push. I'm pleased to announce that we've hit the path to partner. Now we're just waiting for Twitch to take 12 weeks to decide whether they want me to be a partner or not. But in save, we've made a cup final. We've won a league. Well, actually, we've started a new save since we spoke to you last, I think, haven't we? I don't think we spoke about Roma on this podcast.
We may have briefly spoke about it, but I don't think we've had a particularly storied history about what's going on.
Okay, basically sold a load of players, bought not much in, won a league, won a cup. Now on the fourth season, in for the cup, in for the Champions League and in for the league with about 5 games to go. We're still in debt. We still need to sell players, pretty much.
Nothing changes. Groundhog Day.
Yes.
Perfect. Very succinct. I enjoyed it. Thank you very much.
Is it? Have you got an idea of how long the save's going to go with Roma? Because I remember you, when you were doing your 24-hour, you nearly ditched it in. Do you think if you could do the treble or something, you might put an end to that, or is it something you're going to continue for 10 years or something?
During the 24-hour, I did step away. Reason being is it's a very difficult save with all the finances. So at 4 o'clock in the morning after streaming for 20 hours, I didn't think it was a good idea to try and do pre-season and muck it up. So what I did was I just kind of started a quick buy and save and I went back to Roma and we actually sold £240 million worth of players and brought 60 in, and now we're pushing for the treble. This will be the last season, yes. I need to spend some money, really. I'm bored of not having money.
Will you be going to buy in full time after that then?
Yeah, I think what we're going to do.
Something else in the pipeline.
I think what we're going to do is actually, because we literally did like half a pre-season of buy in, so we're just going to restart it, get the updated database so we've got Goretzka and none of those horrible injuries that Bayern had. So make it a little bit easy for me. And then I promised Joe that I wouldn't play three up top because apparently I play three up the top all the time.
Whoa. It's not. It's three minus one plus one forward system. We told you that.
basically cheating.
It's not. I wouldn't say it's cheating. I learned it from the best.
Oh, who's the best?
My mate that I met in the week. Oh. He taught me all about tactics where he couldn't speak English, but no, I was very lucky to meet Bielsa in the week. When I say meet Bielsa, he stood there. He might as well have just been a figurine because
he didn't even look at the camera, did he?
No, he had no clue literally no clue what I was saying to him. You know, I asked him if he liked my work and he just nodded, so I assumed he'd watched.
I mean, if it makes you feel any better, I don't even think he knows what Leeds is.
Does anyone know what Leeds is?
What is a Leeds? What is a lead? That's probably quite relevant, actually. That's Dave. Shots going all towards Mr. Azapardi today. Cool. Joseph, update. What's going on?
Not done a lot, mate, to be honest.
Disappointing.
No. It's here. The Villarreal project has landed. I don't know why I've done it, but it's been quite fun. Wrote a couple of bits. Interesting tactically wise. Gone for the, obviously we talked about it last week, the 4-2-2-2 Pellegrini. I've just started messing around with a 4-3-1-2, which was the tactic he used when Riquelme was there. As is always, when people start trying to do something around writing, creating, videoing, streaming, you tend not to get much game time done. And I've been doing more talking and more writing things down than I've actually been playing the game at the moment. But no, it's been great fun, and obviously the interaction I've had this week has been brilliant.
So if you haven't checked out Joe's blog, the link will be in the description of the podcast. Make sure you check it out. It's a fantastic read, and I do hope you continue it, because I'm looking forward to reading your updates, because you write really well. And I think that, to be brutally honest, I don't think there's been a lot of well-written blogs for quite a while. There are a couple that I do check out. Mr. JL Aspies is a favourite, but yours is very well written, very well structured, and it's just awesome. So yeah, check it out if you haven't already done so.
Thanks, mate. I'm hoping that at least, and I thought it's a little play on words, is that if I can get something out every Friday, so we have some Friday night FM.
Ooh, look at that! It's like someone planned it. Almost.
Yeah, I love when my plan comes together.
More like it's taking me 10 days to write the next bit.
Dan, hi. Now, I know you're not streaming FM at the moment, but you had been doing a bit of offline play.
Yeah. I've revisited the Red Star save a little bit, carried on to see if we could kind of continue the post-Champions League winning glory, and played about half a season. Got through the qualifying for the Champions League and just kind of, it was getting a bit samey, and it reminded me as to why I'd kind of called an end on that save. Really, it gets fun towards the end of the season if you're in the knockout rounds of the Champions League, and that's about it. So there was that. I did a little quick bit, like I've been doing half an hour here and there, with the England squad trying to recreate Gareth Southgate's 3-4-3 or whatever you want to call it. 3-5-2, and that was quite fun. I kind of started getting it ticking around, but I've not been putting that much time into it recently. As you say, I've been away on holiday. As soon as I got back, I wanted to get back onto playing Fallout and getting through those games. So minimal FM time, but it's like I still enjoy the game. I just don't want to put 30 hours a week into it at the minute. That's all it is.
So your saves, both the last two have been. Well, I think you expected the Bilbao save to be a bit more long-term than it ended up turning out to
be.
Yeah,
definitely.
But like the Red Star save was absolutely a long-term project.
That was a good 6 months, that. And considering it took 6 months, we only got 5 years in. So we were definitely meticulous in playing it, considering how quickly we were getting through the league games. Like kind of shows how much time we put into the back of house and recruitment and getting the tactic right and all that kind of stuff and bringing the right players through. But I think investing that much time and mental effort into that save maybe kind of burnt me out a little bit on the game a bit early this year. I was looking at my hours and I'm pushing 1,300 hours in the game this year, and I don't play a lot off stream. So it kind of gives you a good idea as to where I am with the game this year.
It's understandable why you'd be burnt out at this point. Yeah. Absolutely. In terms of my save, I'm continuing on with the Middlesbrough Sir Alex Ferguson challenge that I started the other week. We've managed to stave off relegation, which is awesome, and we're in the rebuilding phase. I'm actually really enjoying it. I did say this on stream that it's the first save that I've done which hasn't been with Blackburn that I've enjoyed for a long time. So I think I might end up having a similar love for this save like I did for Recreativo, and I really enjoyed that save as well. So I'm hoping that's going to be the case. Patrick Bamford, special mention. He's been incredible, surprisingly incredible.
Will there be a new Fonz?
I'm hoping there will be. We have found, so for anyone who doesn't know who the Fonz is, the Recreativo save, we had, not that Fonz, it was like Alfonzarella something or other, but I can't even remember his full name, but he had to be the Fonz. I nicknamed him the Fonz at Recreativo, and he was a Portuguese player that I picked up for about £150,000, something like that, not very much at all, and he was incredible. He wasn't a wonder kid, but he was very good, and he became sort of the centre point of my team, really. And I've just picked up a Portuguese wonder kid for £400,000. Completely, naturally, found him. Well, in fact, I didn't even look for him. He was suggested by one of my scouts. It came up in the normal scouting list. And so it feels right that I had to sign him, and he could be something very special. He's an absolute brute in midfield, which I think Raz nearly had a wet dream over the other night because he's that sort of player. But I'm looking forward to see how he develops. And so I think having a sort of relatively long-term project like this is good. But I mean, I've spent, three and a half hours today on pre-season alone on stream. So I think we will be lucky if we get to the start of next season on Monday, but we'll see how things go. But I'm very much enjoying it at the moment, which is nice.
How many goals did Bamford end up getting last year?
I think 11.
but to keep you up, 11's enough.
it was not bad considering how bad his attributes are. We did actually discuss the other week about the places shots PPM, and he's got 13 finishing. So he's managed to score 11 goals despite not being the great. He's a championship player. He's not a Premier League player by any stretch of the imagination. His value represents that. But he just seems to be able to put away the one-on-ones that others don't. He never blasts it straight at the keeper. He always places it either side. So I can only assume it's the PPM that's allowing him that, as well as his sort of fairly decent composure. A hat-trick against Liverpool. You don't see that very often, particularly not at Anfield.
Well, it depends. Is Karius in that?
No. I think it's Rooley they have. But we're maybe getting slightly off topic, but I've seen two of the most offside goals I've ever seen in my life on Football Manager. Now, I think the other week Miles had said, and we'd mentioned it, that Miles had said about offside goals being a thing, but I'd never really seen one. I've seen like contentious ones but you're definitely on. These are, he's off by at least a body width, like unbelievably offside. And I think, Joe, you were in the stream the other day when you saw it and you saw how offside he actually was. And there was another one yesterday as well.
I think if you got the old the VAR camera from, was it the Man United Cup game? I can't remember which one it was.
When it's diagonal.
Lines. it'd have been on side line.
But yeah, that sort of thing. But it's the first time I've been able to see something like that. So crazily offside and so for something that we thought would be perfect and that it doesn't make mistakes, it clearly does, because he was not on at all. I got a coaster out, because it's the only straight ahead I had close to me at the time to see how offside he actually was. But
maybe it's one because you know now that there are those faults that you're actually looking out from, or you kind of you second guess.
It was just because it was so blatantly offside that I was like, he can't be onside. So I even rolled it back in the replay, got the sideline cam out and everything, and you can even just before the ball's played, he's off by a country mile. He doesn't even move to make himself onside. He's just offside, full on offside. But there you go. Anyway,
Arsene didn't see it.
Well, it did help. Basically, two of the goals being gifted in a hat trick. But hey, you got to take what you can take, or got to take what you could get given, even at Anfield. Anyway, let's move on to our team meeting, which we're going to discuss how to build a tactic today. So we're all perhaps going to have slightly different ways of doing it, but it kind of follows on. We're trying to build a bit of a basic how-to guide, which should be quite nice. And then we can discuss how we do things, how different people approach things. So who wants to get us started? Mr. Dave Azzopardi.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke about it a little bit last week about sort of going into a save almost knowing sometimes what you want to achieve, and sometimes people go into a save to pick a team for a particular reason or already sort of have a tactic in mind. But for people that obviously don't really know, they're sort of, whether it's a journeyman or what have you, and when I used to kick off saves, I used to start really basic and just build from there. So throughout pre-season tests, different things. So I'd have a rough shape of a tactic that I wanted, looking at the squad depth and so on. So for example, if I wanted to play with wingers, I'd start off basically with a basic 4-4-2 and just go from there really. So throughout pre-season, I'd see if I can push the wingers up a little bit more attacking, or if I needed to drop one of the central midfielders down to be a defensive midfielder, or even sort of scrap it all together and maybe go for a 4-4-1-1 just to add a little bit more. Because I don't know if it was last year or this year, I've seen it a lot where sometimes you're in games and the strikers just aren't getting any of the ball. So I've had to drag a striker down into that hole and basically just use him to play off the game. But that's what I do, really. I start off with like a basic shape that I want to go for and build off there, really. Add instructions, take off instructions, change mentality. And that's why I think, especially this year, I've concentrated a lot more on pre-season. That's what it's helped me to achieve, really. Just starting off with a basic shape and going from there.
For me, it really depends on how I'm looking to make a tactic. This year, I've kind of tried to emulate other managers' tactics in all the saves, really. When I was with Red Star, I started out getting the best players that I had there because we had a lot of all right players and three or four outstanding players. And I wanted to get them in the best positions so they can influence the game the most. And as we went on, I tried to replicate like a Klopp style high press, three players up front, play very compact, lots of closing down and lots of attacking movement. And we managed to do that. So it was more kind of trying to get the players to play, to take up the positions that they would for Liverpool in the match engine. And it was the same when I was doing the Bielsa style tactic in Spain. Getting the right players in the right positions and trying to get the right instructions to a player so they'll take up the positions on the field. Now, in the past, what I'll do is I'll have a way that I want to play and I'll kind of pick the tactic around that. So I'll generally go for like a 4-5-1 or a 4-3-3 and try and get complementary roles together. So it's a lot about partnerships, so forward partnerships and midfield partnerships and defensive partnerships.
I think we spoke about it before, where do we go into a save trying to get a tactic that works and pick players or sign players that fit that tactic, or do we go into a club making a tactic to suit the players that are already there? So I think that sort of obviously has a factor in what we go for. As I say, a lot of us go into a save knowing what we want to do, but I suppose if you are getting a job, jumping into a job mid-save, obviously even if it's mid-season, you're not going to have time to sign the players. Are you going to be using the existing squad?
Yeah, and like I say, when I start a save generally, I'll look at the strongest players that are there and then try and build a tactic around it. And then as you progress through the seasons, you can bring other players in, move players on that aren't a part of that system. Like I say, I'll always have an idea of how I want a system to work out when I get a job, whether or not I can do it at the start of the save. I'll use that as a template to what kind of players I want to bring in. And even if I want to retrain players into different positions and stuff?
For me, it's start at the back, get my back how I want it. If you don't concede goals, you're not going to lose games. Granted, you're not going to win them, but you're not going to lose them. And in the pre-seasons, I just watch for transitions, see how to me, it doesn't matter how it looks in the tactic screen. I rock quite a strange-looking tactic at the moment, but it's working. It works on the pitch. That's all that matters to me. So I would be slowing down the games, seeing how we change from attack to defend and from defend to attack, where the boys are, where they're going to be, where I want them to be. And I do use quite a lot of player instructions. Maybe because I'm at Roma, it's a bit of a better club. It's a bit easier than maybe doing it at a tougher, a smaller club. But yeah, that's how I kind of roll with mine.
I will say, I've actually been quite impressed with how you've been building tactics. Despite me taking the mick out of you for playing three up top, it isn't like a flat three up top. But I've actually watched you watching games, seeing what players are doing, and you're actually talking about how you're building them. And I'd probably say over the last 3-4 months, I think you've kind of cracked it a little bit. The player instruction things, sorry, the team instruction things triggers the life out of me. I've always been someone that has kind of limited team instructions, and I've always believed that's kind of the way to be. I've seen you have about 400 team instructions that all contradict each other, and somehow you're winning leagues and, you know, beating teams absolutely going through them. But to kind of coin a phrase and echo what Dan and Dave say, it is about, if you understand what you want and then just try and keep it simple to start with, don't make radical changes, just change one player instruction, one player role at a time, and just watch the match engine and see how it plays. That's kind of what I do, and how I kind of, like you say, do build from the back, but in terms of just do it very basic, one step at a time, and you'll get there.
That's very much out of the Cleon handbook, isn't it, Joe? The one step at a time thing.
Yeah, very much. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it, just to keep it simple. But again, I think when you've been playing the game for a long time, it just makes a bit of sense to not do too much, because I think how many people go, oh, I've lost a couple of games, and they just change tactic, trying to make it win, and then they go, oh, I'm just fed up, let's save, go and do another one. It's normally something basic does work, and then just develop on what you've got.
Yeah, I'd seen at Borough that a lot of the players that I'd signed were, we had a lot of strength in the centre and not an awful lot of depth out wide, so I thought maybe try and implement a Brazilian box style thing. It was kind of, I'd given you credit as well, because the talk we'd had about Villarreal last week had sort of led to me thinking, actually, that might be a good idea, but do the inverse, where I've got players sort of starting in the middle and then moving out, rather than starting outside and then moving in. But I slowly, well, I say slowly, after a couple of matches of trying it, I realised that by removing the players that I had out wide, I was actually weakening the team quite significantly. So although they weren't the better players, I needed to mark that space, and I needed to mark the fullbacks, because I was getting absolutely pummeled by fullbacks. But you only find that out when you actually watch matches, and then you pay attention to all of the heat maps and everything like that. It's it can be very difficult, I guess, as a new player, not really knowing an awful lot. And I've noticed, particularly this week, I've had quite a lot of questions in the streams about how to build tactics. And then people show you a screenshot of the tactics they've got, where they've obviously got players that they want to shoehorn in, but then they don't seem to apply like actual footballing logic. And I know footballing logic and FM logic don't necessarily see eye to eye all the time, but the principles are fairly similar, and basic sort of structuring of a team. If you want four players in midfield and four players in defence, you need to think about the duties that you apply to them. It doesn't necessarily matter so much about the roles that you assign them, but the actual duties and whether you have them on attack, support, defend, that's the thing that gives you the balance. And there's so many people that I've seen playing like four roles, like four attack, like four players on an attack duty, sorry, which is just bizarre. Like, you have no defence at all then, and you expect it to work. I don't understand.
If you were to do a video on that tactic, can you just call it inverting the box, please?
Inverting the box.
Inverting the square.
I was just about to touch on a point that I think you've all made so far, is if you're trying to figure out how your tactics work or why it's not working, watch more of the game. It's really easy, and I've done it a lot more recently, and especially when I was trying to, again, hark back to that Bielsa tactic, trying to figure out why things were going wrong, especially in defence, and how to fix it. I just watched more of the game, and I could see where players were out of position. I could figure out how I wanted to fix it, whether it be a team shape or a structure or an individual instruction. You can see the players, like, why isn't that guy there? That I want him to be there. What can I do to get him there in this situation? And a lot of that's kind of knowledge of how the roles work, and like you were saying, Matt, whether it's defend or support or attack, and knowing how the roles work. So I guess it's quite easy to forget when you're all as seasoned players like we are, that if you are new to the game, a lot of these things are going to be, you know, you're not going to know where to start, and that can be quite tough. Even myself, who's got, like I say, God knows how many hours in the games, there's certain roles that I still don't quite understand how they work and the best way to implement them. Like this year was the first time I've ever really played around with inverted wingbacks, in a sense that I knew where they were going to go and how they were going to work. So it was good to kind of have a play around with that. But yeah, like we've all said, watch more of the game. If you want your tactic to work, figure out the balance and stuff. But if things are going wrong, the more you see of it, the more you're going to be able to figure out how to fix it.
For me, as you probably know, I take FM quite seriously. I treat it as it's real life. When I'm building a tactic, I think how I want my players to play, not how I think the game wants me to play. And like Dan says, when I do pre-season, I watch literally the whole match. And we'll focus in, like this first pre-season friendly, we're going to focus at the back. Then we'll do the midfielders, then we'll do the strikers. I also find a little tip that actually somebody came in my stream and said that if you build a tactic, brilliant, and then you get to the next season and you think all we need to do is just replace personnel, those personnel's got different traits, they've got different attributes, they're not going to play exactly the same as that of a player. So it might be that you need to just tweak your player instructions, tweak the role slightly, which actually, to be fair, I didn't really think about.
And just to kind of go back to something Dan said, something Matt said, about people that are new to the game, and obviously Matt saying about people asking about tactics. I don't know if you've noticed, but we're in July, and there's a lot of new people playing the game. I just wondered, I thought it's just a little tangent question, that do you feel responsible as streamers, content creators, you're giving these people advice? Do you take that seriously?
I think the upsurge in more people playing is the 50% off deal, to be honest.
And the World Cup.
And the World Cup.
And the World Cup as well, yeah.
And excellent content, obviously.
And excellent content. Yeah, yeah.
In terms of like responsibility, do you mean as in to help shape their learning?
Yeah, I think it's quite an admirable thing to be able to say that you've helped someone. You know, sometimes people asking what we may think is a bit of a dumb question to someone that's just bought the game. We're trying to, you know, long term, make this game last as long as it can. You know, we want new people coming in, because ultimately the people that have been playing this for 20 years may get to a point where they can't play it anymore. There's so many people that have got kids and don't get the time to play it. You do need that new generation of people. So do you think by having live interaction, the responsibility kind of sits on your shoulders a little bit to try and make this game easier to play or understand?
To an extent, I think it would... You know, it does help that we generally know how to play it, at least to some extent, and how to build a working tactic and then not make flippant changes. We don't always, I mean, everyone has a bit of a rage every now and again, and then we all have a bit of a crisis.
I've seen you change tactics 3 times in a game, Matt.
possibly. But sometimes that's enforced by people getting sent off. Thank you, Chellis, little bell end. But yeah, it has happened sometimes, but it's normally enforced upon me by referees making silly decisions like sending my players off.
And sometimes it doesn't let you click on buttons.
Oh, that don't even, let's not go there.
Triggered.
Yeah, let's not go there. But I do think like you said, Joe, we do have a bit of a responsibility. I do try to make sure that I don't tell them how to. And I know it's something that, I used to go on the SI forums an awful lot when I was younger. I still go on now, but I spent a lot of time on there when I was younger, because there wasn't really like a podcast scene. There wasn't streaming. There certainly wasn't YouTube videos at that point. And so forums were the only real place you could go to get that sort of guidance and help. And most of the people... we're trying to teach people how to interpret things within the match engine, as well as how to improve their tactics bit by bit, rather than telling them this tactic will work. And that helps no one, just saying, oh, just play this tactic and it will kill everyone. I know there are engine exploits, as we've already sort of alluded to, um, but But learning how the game is supposedly working, that's only going to help people. So I do try to push people towards Cleon's blogs because I think he explains things very well. And, as well as Bust the Net, who's recently made he's embarked upon Twitch recently as well. They're both awesome guys. They've known the game for probably longer than I have, and they know it inside out. I think Daljit was a QA tester on FM and had been for years. So if anyone should know about it, it's absolutely him. But I do think getting a wide variety of perspectives as well does help. Not just from one particular stream. I think viewing a load of other streams, just so you can, it proves each of us play the game completely differently from one another. We may borrow bits from each other, but we do play it differently. And so helping someone find other creators, I think, is also important, so that they get a wider appreciation of ways that they can play, and they can maybe find their own philosophy within sort of that amalgamated mix of people's approaches.
Yeah, just to go back to what you were saying, Joe, that as regards feeling responsible, I've never felt responsible or had felt any pressure to bring in the next generation of FM players or, whatever you want to call it. But I enjoy teaching people stuff. I enjoy trying to explain why I'm doing something. And like one of the more popular things I do on my stream, I should do it more when I stream FM, is do the tactics with Dan, where I'll pull up the blackboard and we'll go through why certain things work a certain way and why I'm changing a tactic or changing a team or changing a player.
Pen's awesome.
Yeah.
Your Epic Pen streams are awesome.
Yeah. Why I'm doing what I'm doing and trying to explain it in more of a, on a blackboard kind of way, like you would in a team room. And I enjoy doing that, and I enjoy going a bit more in depth, and maybe that helps people. Maybe it goes over the head of some people. But I've had quite a few people say that it's really helped them, especially with things that can easily get looked over. I've spoke about it in the past about mentality and team structure and like quickness of play and all that kind of stuff. And if you break it down, and once you get that fundamental understanding of how it works in the match engine or how it works in the game, it can be a lot easier to get your ideas into the game engine and get your ideas into the tactic. Because God knows, like I've spent, when I was a bit less well-informed, I've spent hours just changing things, trying to get them to do something. And it's almost like a trial and error thing for me in the past. Whereas now I feel like I've got a bit more background knowledge. So it's a bit more of an informed change. Even though it doesn't always work, it's more of an informed change. And at least in my mind, there's a process going on there as to this is why it should work. And this year, like experimenting with team shape, like the structure, I've never really played around too much with that because in my mind, you always want to be really fluid. Like that's always been the thing for me, either very fluid or fluid, and playing around with a structured style in the Bielsa tactic that was still incredibly fluid going forward, but it was a structured mentality because the players were sticking to what I was telling them. I've found a new appreciation for that side of it as well. So going forward this year, if I do manage to get another save in that I'm hoping to do before 19 drops, and if not, when 19 drops, it's certainly something that I'll be playing around with a lot more structured styles, because then I can really be a bit of a hard taskmaster and get the players doing exactly what I want them to do.
Regarding content, I've actually probably, not sort of interface-wise and navigating around Football Manager, but tactical and team talk and stuff like that, I've actually learned a lot of things just by watching content. Even over the last couple of years, when I sort of first started coming to Football Manager, I don't even think Twitch was a thing. I think it was like Justin TV back then. But I don't think anyone was doing Football Manager back then. But I was watching YouTube, and I mentioned it before, like people that I was watching, and even watching content sometimes really wants me to play the game. But we get it a lot. I wonder if, I'm not sure if it does, but people that don't play the game listen to the podcast. And I'm sure people just watching our content have brought the game or want to play the game more because of us. So, you know, even if we aren't the best at the game, just because we stream it, a lot of people do think we're the greatest at it. Like, you have questions sometimes, how do you do this? And I'm like, mate, to be honest, I don't have a clue. I don't know how you do it, but it might just be me. cue a sack comment very soon by somebody. but yeah, it's good to see. I mean, especially the streaming, the YouTube, everything's still really busy for this time of year, and hopefully that's a thing that can carry on into next summer as well, whether we say it's because of the World Cup or because the season, you know, the football season actually not too far away. And, you know, it's still so busy. So I think that's great for everyone, really, everyone part of the community. So it's all good.
For me, one of the best things about streaming is when somebody comes in the chat and they're like, I've been watching you for a few weeks and it's made me want to pick a save up. It's made me want to play the game. You know, I'm not the greatest football manager player, but if you get one extra person replaying the game, I think that's a win, in my opinion.
Yeah, totally. And I think, like you were saying about the longevity of the game this year, I've been streaming FM since FM15, and that's that little break. But this is the longest that I can remember it going consistently, where not only there's people tuning in and content being put out, but the amount of people playing the game on Twitch, I've never known so many people playing it for so long. It's been really good, and I think it's a community that is growing, and it's a very inclusive community as far as I've been involved in it. I know there's certain things floating around there, but as far as I see it, it's a really inclusive community on Twitch. And I like the fact that there's so many places you can go to see people play different saves in different countries, doing different styles of playthrough, doing different tactics. I love just bouncing around different streams and seeing how people go about the game. Like you were saying, there's so many different places you can go to watch that kind of stuff, as well as YouTube and all the blogs and stuff as well. It can almost feel like information overload at times, but like I say, if you're just dropping into streams here and there and checking out different content creators, you'll always find a different opinion on how a certain tactic works, or how a team talk works, or how a X, Y, and Z. The amount of tips that I've picked up doing that this year, things like dealing with player complaints and things like that, like things I've never really thought about. It's like, oh well, yeah, you just do it this way. Like, oh, now that's another string to my bow that I can take forward and things like that. And it's like I say, it's been really good. And I think I've never been into a stream where someone doesn't want to tell someone the answer or their opinion on why they're doing something that way. It's all very informative. They're all learning streams. It's good, rather than just watching someone run around shooting other people in the face. Teabagging.
Wow. Okay.
I don't think there's enough teabagging in FM.
Well, it depends what stream you're watching.
I was going to say yours and Toad's bloody hell.
Wait till Twitch come, right, baby.
Perfect time to call an end to that. But I think that was good, and we can perhaps move things forward a bit from there. Maybe next week we'll focus on another tactical thing. But anyway, we have some questions. In fact, actually, before the questions, I've just remembered that we did say we would revisit the World Cup predictions, and I think actually a lot of people actually had France as the winners in their FM18 saves, particularly for 2018. I certainly did in two of the three saves I've had. I've had France win it, and I think even Golden FM, who put ran a thousand sims to see who would win it, and France won it the most. So FM's not done too bad of a job there for working out who France had won, or that France had won the World Cup. Anyway, question time, folks, and we do have two questions, one answer. So this is from, in fact, Cultured Left Foot is going to feature twice because he's the only one who's given us an answer this week. So buck your ideas up, folks, if you want to get featured. Answers get featured, strangely enough. So what's the highest fee you've ever paid for a player in one lump sum? No clauses or monthly fees allowed.
I can't remember. A lot of my saves recently have been with smaller teams. I think I spent $4.5 million on a Brazilian striker.
I think the most I've spent is only about $70 million, to be honest.
Only about 70.
$70, darlings.
Some of the, like, that's the biggest fee I've ever spent, which is quite surprising because I'm sure I've seen some saves even this week, people selling players for $180 million. So
I'm sure I've spent over $100 million on someone in the past. I think it might have been FM16. It might have even been FM17 last year in just an offline save. I was doing a Man United save where I was trying to buy all the best, basically recreate the England squad at Man United, and I must have spent 95 million on Dele Alli or something.
Jesus Christ, it's not worth 95 million pounds.
But you know, like that's what they wanted to get rid of to get him. And it was a similar thing for Harry Kane. I think I did it all. I think I sold all the foreign United players, so I had a bank balance of about half a billion. And I just went, right, let's just buy all the good guys. Just threw money at
I think I spent £35 million on Reece Nelson to bring him from Arsenal to Spurs.
Mate.
I forgot about that. I think that's the highest fee I've ever paid for a player outright. And that would have been just £35 million in one lump.
I can't remember, so I'm just going to go for this save. Bruno Fernandes. I should have waited a couple of weeks and he would have been free. I paid £39 million and he's banged. He's banged for me.
Oh, so I thought you said that. He's banned then.
Like, bang.
Get out.
I can only think off the top of my head, my Villarreal save just now, I've just bought Jorge Mir for £20 million. Kept him fantastic.
Jeez.
Marvellous. Right, next question from Sog Plays FM on Twitter. What's your approach to derby days? Do you think they are made enough of in the game, or could SI add more spice to these big games? Dan?
Yeah, I agree that, well, this is, could they add a bit more spice? I totally think they could. Sometimes I'll forget that it's a derby unless, you know, just until you get to the pre-match press conference.
I did notice 40 questions how you went a bit more mank in that one, Dan.
Derby. but yeah, I think they could make a bit more of a deal about it. Like I say, unless you're doing the Liverpool derby or the London derby or something that I know better, especially when you're managing in foreign countries. Like they could make a bit more of a show of it. Maybe you could have more of an impact on morale, or players seem to get a bit more fired up, or
stabbings in Argentina,
bombs in Turkey, you know. But like something along those lines, just make a bit more of a show of the derby, because it can just feel like another game. If you miss it or just forget who you're playing.
Wasn't it a feature a few years ago that one of their things was they added in all the different derbies across the world, like all the major ones, and it was a big news conference thing. Like they made a big deal out of putting all the derby, like the names of derbies in there.
Yeah.
But how I set up, it's normally, depending on what team you are, but I just like to get stuck in and, you know, throw a few tackles in. But I tell the press beforehand that obviously we need 11 men on the pitch, but then totally ignore that and just go hard tackling everybody.
I felt, what's wrong with SI adding about 20 questions in every derby day instead? Like, are you looking forward to this derby? No comment.
It replicates real life, David.
Yeah, but no. Move on.
All right, Vicky, calm down. Right, answer for this week is David Jones' hair. That's from Cultured Left Foot, or Cultured F on Twitter.
What would Matt like to have?
Brilliant.
What would Viking then like to have?
I may be bald, but what do my pubes resemble?
David.
Moving on.
David. No one else? No any advances? I think Joe's won that one. Again, oh, bloody hell.
Yes.
But,
that tall fucker from what a week.
I mean, it's quite poignant that you have won that, because in Curtie's absence this week, Joe's stepping into the Quizmaster void. There's no particular jingle for Joe, there we go, I like that.
Alliteration at his finest, as usual, Matthew.
As per. But it is Joseph's quiz. Curtie's quiz.
Hey.
Excellent.
It's a fucking quiz.
It's a fucking quiz, isn't it?
Joseph's quiz.
I will say, this is kind of not together in 10 minutes. Behave yourself, I'll cut your fucking Jacobs off, boy. 10 minutes rattling this quiz up. Obviously, in homage to Curtie, because unfortunately he's unwell, I hope he's better by the time the pod comes out. But as I say, I love this music quiz, so I thought we'd do another one, boys. That's not what we're doing, because that quiz was a myth. I thought this week we could do something a bit different, and we keep seeing all these path to partner things coming, saying who's watching the watchers. Well, actually, who's watching the streamers? So it's all about your content. Okay, so normal rules apply. 1 point for a correct answer, -1 point for an incorrect answer, thanks to old Ginger Pubes himself.
Hello.
And everyone must answer. But I thought, as it's a quiz about you guys, there's four questions in there that obviously Matt, Dupe, Dave, Dan, don't answer your own question unless nobody else gets the answer. And so it's quite fair because there's four questions in there, but obviously you still may get a chance to get a point if no one else knows the answer.
The pressure's on if, like, you don't know the answer to your own question.
Dan, just that's fair, a fallout, mate.
Yeah. What, like his hair?
And his beard.
It's all that radiation, mate.
Jesus. So as the great man says, we'll start where we always start, with question one. At the start of FM18, Teach made the decision to start a save in South America. Which club legend did he use as his manager pseudonym?
Nerd.
Go for it.
Fernando Redondo.
Boom. Straight in. Correct answer.
A Redondo way.
That's it.
Question number two. In the FM17 series Homegrown Hotspurs, who did Nerd have between the sticks in his Champions League final?
Dave. Was it Ben Foster?
-1.
Dupe.
What?
It's not. I've watched it back. It's incorrect.
You've watched it back.
Matt, that's wrong.
Really?
Correct. Dupe's he was on the bench.
He was on the bench. He got injured.
I thought I started.
Dupe. You had an injured keeper in goal.
Dupe's beeping.
Is that -1 Dupe. For Matt as well?
Fraser Forster.
That's minus. Correct.
Yeah, it was Ben Foster got injured the week before. I remember it, Matt. I know. Sorry, Fraser Forster got injured, but he had bad arms, and you put him in anyway.
I will say when I wrote the quiz, I put Ben Foster, and then I thought I'm going to watch it just in case, and it was Fraser Forster.
Disappointing times.
Oh well,
there you go. You weren't allowed to answer anyway. No. Question number three. Viking Dan will often be seen on stream wearing a cap, but what is the word he uses to toast his audience as a thank you?
Nerd. Skull.
1 point.
Jeez.
There you go. What does it mean? Anyway, Dan.
Cheers. Drink.
There you go. Question number four. We start the pod with save updates, and only a couple of weeks ago we discussed Dave's It's Coming Home series. But which goalkeeper did he accidentally start the World Cup with?
I literally said this the other week on the pod.
Dan. Tom Heaton?
Correct.
Jeez.
Yes, he listens.
big fan of the channel, I hope.
No, he's not.
Question
number five.
who's this kid?
Yeah. Question number five. Dupe had a great time managing Forest Green Rovers in FM18, and he had the privilege to do some media work with him at Christmas. The two players he interviewed were Luke James and friend of the pod, Scott Laird.
Oh, my God.
Dave. There had to be a courtesy in there.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
I was waiting for it. Eddie and Ketia.
-1 point, Dave.
No surprise.
Do you want the rest of the question?
Yeah.
The players he interviewed were Luke James and friend of the pod, Scott Laird. But what position does Scott Laird play?
Oh my God.
Damn.
Nerd.
I think he's a wait, are we talking FM or are we talking real life?
Real life. If you went, I'll kind of say if it was a 4-4-2.
A centre half.
-1.
Dan. Left back.
Correct.
Good. Oh, I knew that as well.
I thought it was a DLC.
Dupe.
Is that correct?
To be fair, actually, the last game he played, he started left back last night. But he did play a lot of last season in centre midfield. But he classes himself as a left back.
As he
wears number three. Wikipedia. He wears left number back. Three. He's a left back. He scored last night.
There you go.
He's number three. He has to play left back.
Okay. Question number six. I had a great save with Shakhtar Donetsk in FM18. But who was the player that signed for me with his old club picking up the wage bill?
Dupe. Douglas Costa.
1 point. Get in. Question number seven. Christopher Sick Note Curtis had a fantastic save with Nottingham Forest in FM18. But which two shirts does he have framed behind him when he streams?
I'm looking at his face, to be fair.
Nerd. He's got a Boca Maradona shirt, and then he's got his own Aldershot shot for a day shirt.
Well done, mate. Yeah, 1 point.
You deserve that point.
Pulled that out of the bag. Question number 8. Unarmin Payne went trophy hunting with Liverpool in his last save, but which three player roles did he use across the central midfield in his final season?
No.
Dan.
Was it two Volantes and Anchorman?
Minus one.
So close.
Oh, must have been close.
You've all got our answer.
Is this a new rule?
Sorry, Pine.
I will give you a hint. Dan got two out of three.
I know what it is now.
Dave? See, I don't know. I'll go two Volantes and Mazzala.
Minus one.
God knows.
Doop. Two Volantes and a ball-winning midfielder.
Minus one. Matt.
I'm trying to think what would work.
Two Volantes and a partridge in a pear.
I'm gonna go for if Dan got two right.
Okay, I'll say this now because everyone has it. It is two Volantes.
Right. Okay. So it's two Clues. Volantes.
Fucking spoilers.
It would have been funny if he said Anchorman, Volante, and something else.
And a just a defensive midfielder.
Minus one. Okay, the answer was actually two Volantes and a Regista.
Oh, damn it.
I must have seen an Excellent earlier version. Dave.
GG.
Well defended, think, Dan.
I do think he did start it off with two Volantes and an Anchorman because he had William Carvalho. Okay, question number 9. In FM17, WeStream FM streamer Clan had a fantastic save with Portsmouth, taking them through the league's winning title after title. But which Spanish striker became a cult hero for the South Coast side?
Dupe.
Dave?
Dupe.
Oh, Kuki. That's wrong.
1 point.
Oh, I thought he was a Cam. I knew he signed
that one out of the bag.
Yeah, I knew he signed him, but I thought he played Cam. I'll take it then.
No, he scored like 50 goals 1 year, didn't he?
Yeah.
Three up top.
That's it, mate. Question 10. Friend of the show, Dr. Benji, is currently managing Thames FC. But which league is he currently in at time of recording? Dave.
Championship.
1 point.
Yay.
Well done.
Cheers, Dad.
I'm just totting the scores up now. Okay.
I've come last, though.
In last place is Dave with minus one. In third place is Nerd with zero.
Oh.
In second place is Viking Dan with 1 point. And winning on his return, somehow, FM Dupe.
Man of the community, mate. Man of the community.
Wait, Ben won last week as well, boys. We need to fix up.
It's a fix.
Yeah, we do need to sort.
Joe, thanks for
you would say that. Thanks for you would say that, wouldn't you? Right, marvellous work, Joe. That was
good quiz.
That was extraordinarily difficult. The fact that I got my own bit of question wrong.
I think that should be an extra minus point for you, Matt, to be honest.
Anyway, but yeah, great work, Joe. Thank you very much. And congratulations, Mr. Dupe. Now, it's that time again, once more, where we need to make our merry way away.
Merry way away.
But first of all, I'll allow you to plug yourselves galore. Mr. Viking Dan, where can people find you?
Well, I'm already plugged. I'm Viking Dan TV on Twitter and Viking Dan on YouTube and the Twitch.
Thank you for that mental image I can now never erase from my mind. Mr. Dupe, where can people find you?
FM Dupe, everywhere you go.
Perfect. Mr. Dave as a party?
Dave as a party, FM on Twitch, Dave as a party on YouTube and Twitter.
Perfect. Joseph?
More than one sentence. Friday Night FM on Twitter, FridayNightFM.com, and WeStreamFM.com is a thing.
Yes.
Emoji.
Cheese.
Awesome stuff. And you can find me at Nerdphonic absolutely everywhere. That was easy. Right, that brings episode number 48 to a close. You can find the links for the 5-Star Pod Twitter account, the WeStream FM Discord server, and each of us in the podcast description, even, as well as Joe's link to his blog, which will be in there for this week. The Five Star Potential Podcast is available on iTunes, SoundCloud, and most popular podcast apps and platforms, with a new podcast released at 8 a.m. every Monday morning. But you probably already knew that. If you have enjoyed the pod, then please leave us a review on iTunes and drop us a follow on SoundCloud whilst you're at it. This has been Five Star Potential, a WeStream FM production, and we'll see you all next week. Say goodbye, folks.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Adios.